Not sure if the song selection that Sister Melba requested through Kathy was from what we talked about here with our group on Wednesday night for a little bit. I always try to send out an email with what thoughts are on my mind for that evening, if I have any. But I know Sister Melba and others receive those and look at them and all. Feel like they're kind of cut short because with all the thoughts that then I may have here in person and those that we discuss these things on Wednesday night, they miss those that sometimes bring everything together. But that song, Thus Far the Lord Has Led Me On, I still have the subject of providence, God's providence, on my mind. And I went Wednesday night, I went to the book of Ruth. Some about Ruth, but a lot about Naomi as well. But I want to start in a very easy book to find. It's Genesis, the very last chapter. So go to Exodus and back up a page, and you'll be there. It's the 50th chapter of Genesis. And I want to bring out some other instances of God's providence. So here we have... So Joseph's brothers, in the 17th verse, is where I am here. Their father had died. He says in the 17th verse, "So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren for their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am I in the place of God? Now the 20th verse says, But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So we have an example of the providence of God right there, plain and simple. This is after the fact. They have been, Joseph was given all of the provisions that he needed to reach even unto this point, and he saved lives, literally, of those that might have starved to death with the famine and so forth. And I'm not going to go through everything that Joseph was put through, but as I think of God's providence, and I mentioned this Wednesday night, and providence is the act of providing or preparing for future use or application. And I've been thinking about that future use or application in God's providence. So we see his providence, that song, Thus Far the Lord Has Led Me On. He's led me, that's through his providence. Joseph, we don't know. We can't see into his heart and his mind. We couldn't have then to know if he knew. I don't know the extent to which God blessed Joseph to realize that his providence was upon him. That's where we came up with Naomi. I came up with Naomi and her experiences, and even Ruth as well. But here, there was a future use, and God gave Joseph the provisions that he needed. I'm not just talking about the grain, I'm thinking about the wisdom, the forgiveness that he had toward his brothers, and even to just survive in prison while he was falsely accused, and the emotional support and provisions that he needed there. Now, in Acts, let me jump to Acts real quick. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Well, if I can find it where I want. No, that's not. Well, I may save that for later. The scene that I'm thinking of, and someone may know this, but it's when Paul was taken to Felix and the governor, and he was put before him, but there was a man that spoke for the high priest against Paul there. That is the only place that the English word providence is used in the entire Bible, is in that verse, wherever that is. That's not coming to me now for whatever reason. But it's the only place. But that man that was speaking against Paul used the providence in regards to Felix, the governor. What he was doing was flattering him to get on his good side, speaking against Paul there. And that he was telling him he had experienced wise foresight in his dealings with Israel up to that point. He was flattering him. It wasn't speaking of the providence of God when that word is used there in the New Testament. Now, just prior to that, there's a verse where, in fact, it's in my Bible, it's in red, but it's where Jesus Christ came to Paul and told him, "Be of good cheer." And he told him, "You will be in Rome. You will go to Rome." There was something for him to do. There was a future action that Paul was going to carry out in the service of the Lord. He had to live that song that we sang this morning, "Trust and Obey." He did that. But Jesus Christ told Paul, said the Lord stood by him. He gave him the provision, the supplies that he needed right then to carry Paul through whatever he was about to experience. And we know of Paul's life as well. Now in Acts 24. Okay, that's what it was. So I'm going to thank you, Brother Jeff. It had the number 24 in it. Mine is a terrible thing to waste. In the book of Esther, the 6th chapter. Let's go there. So in the book of Esther, and this is one of the books I have not spent a lot of time in. I don't know how much time you've spent here. Some of you I know have read through the entire Bible and have been through here and all. But at this point, we know that Esther, the queen, and the scenario was there was someone who wanted to destroy Israel. They wanted to kill Israel. All the Jews here. So let's remember God's providence in this situation. In fact, in the 3rd chapter of this book of Esther, says, speaking of Haman, in the 6th verse of the 3rd chapter of Esther, he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. This was Haman's plan here. But in the 6th chapter, the first verse of that chapter says, on that night could not the king sleep. So the king can't sleep. He's having a sleepless night here. I think all of us can probably relate to that. Either sleepless nights or waking up or not being able to go to sleep, whatever the case may be. But he couldn't sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. Now this makes sense. The king can't go to sleep. He doesn't appear to know why. He doesn't give us the reason that he can't go to sleep, whether or not he even knows why. But it's logical that, and you can think of this book of records of the Chronicles. I think about reading. Now, Brother Ronnie and I, we look at association minutes. We look at church records and all. So I guess this may not apply to us, but you want to go to sleep, read some church minutes. Read some association minutes, the records from that. You're going to nod off real quick. So he has someone read these to him. But we look. Remember God's providence. He's supplying the provisions right here that's needed for Israel. It was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king, Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? So what's happened is that Mordecai had warned the king, someone's about to kill you. And so he saved the king from that. And so so the king here is saying, what dignity and honor was bestowed on Mordecai for doing that? Well, there had been none. In fact, Haman, right now, is getting ready to kill, to hang Mordecai and to kill all of Israel at this point. So not only was there no dignity or honor put on Mordecai, but he was about to be killed along with the rest of the Jews. I need to remember this. I always like to see and apply to our lives God's word. And I think that's helpful in here. I need to remember when I can't go to sleep, when I wake up, can't go back to sleep, that maybe there's some providence going on here. And it's some of the other songs that we sang today talked about our unworthiness of some of these blessings and these that song that was selected, God's angels encampeth, them that fear him, that were given and shown. But the king just, and I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek, just so happened to not be able to go to sleep here. Now, the Jews are out here about ready to be killed, and Mordecai as well. And so he couldn't sleep. But also, so then he said, well, come on, bring these records of the Chronicles in here and read them to me. So maybe I can get some rest and go to sleep. So he, quote-unquote, happened to do that. The next thing is they happened to read where Mordecai had done this, saved that king there. And so it brings to the current king's mind here, was he ever honored for that? So in all of this, we find out, and pretty soon Haman gets what he deserves here. He's hanged as well, or instead of Mordecai. But we see the providence of God right here. As I've told you and I expound, I think it's important to share with one another when we see the providence of God in our lives. And I want to talk about more, some about when we think not only is there no providence involved right now in what's happening with me, but it's punishment or it's the anger of God toward me. I would rather look at that situation and see the love of God, though unworthy I am, that He's blessing me and giving me the supply that I need. so we see the king here and Mordecai and so forth. That's all I want from Esther. But now I want to go to the book of Micah. Micah. And I am moving toward the book of Ruth. And I have more time today. We take about 10, 15 minutes on Wednesday nights, and I poorly express some of my thoughts that I've had, maybe something to study and talk about. But anyway, so in Micah, the fifth chapter, we're going to see some other providence of God here. So the providence of God is nothing like the providence of Felix, that governor over there. No, in fact, that wasn't even true. That was just flattery to try to get the governor on the high priest side as they were going against Paul, the apostle Paul. Fifth chapter of Micah. Now, first verse. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So Micah prophesies that this ruler, that this really the king, Jesus Christ, Jesus will come out of Bethlehem. Now, he's Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth and so forth? So Micah prophesies that. I wanted to get that, but I want to go to the Gospel of Luke. I'm sorry for jumping around so much, but this is where these are. Luke, the second chapter. Luke chapter 2. And we see this. This is, in my Bible, it has in italics above here the subject matter and so forth. Where else, other gospels where this subject matter is covered? It says the birth of Jesus above there. So remember Micah's prophecy. So here, if I can just grab a couple of verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph, not the father of Jesus, but husband of Mary, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. So here's Nazareth. That's where Jesus was. Why didn't Micah prophesy, oh, he's going to come out of the tribe of Judah, but out of Nazareth, out of Galilee. But he didn't. He said Bethlehem. So Joseph also went up from Galilee out of city of Nazareth unto Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so then Jesus is born there, Bethlehem, and they were gone there. They were going to pay taxes. They were going to be taxed there. We see the providence of God. How many times did Jesus say so that Scripture would be fulfilled? Micah's Scripture was fulfilled through the providence of God. Now, again, he does not. We could get into absolutism, but we won't because it's heresy that he does not determine our every step, but he guides us. We believe that. If we don't believe that, then half the songs we sing out of this book are heresy, and they're not. They're good songs. He guides us, and we pray for that guidance and his providence that he would guide us in this. So they were guided to Bethlehem. Now, you may be thinking, the next thought is, well, what's the big deal that he's born in Bethlehem? Well, if nothing else, right here, we have Scripture showing the providence of God and the fulfillment of prophecy. So it's glorifying to God. All this is for the glory of God here. And so here's another example, not only of fulfilled prophecy, but of the providence of God. Now, I want to go to Ruth. Ruth, we'll go back to the first chapter of Ruth. And then go further into this as we see the providence of God carried out here. Naomi lost her her two sons and her husband here in the first chapter. I don't want to read a bunch of this, but so Naomi, of course, back up a little bit. She and her family had come out of Bethlehem because of the famine, and come to Moab because they were afraid they would starve to death. There was food down there, and so they went there. Naomi's two sons married Moabitess women while they were there. So that wasn't such a good thing. But we see God working through this. So both about the fifth verse of this first chapter, fifth and sixth verse down in there. Then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Back in Bethlehem. Well, it's time to go back. She's been through a lot. She's lost her whole family. I don't know how Naomi, I'd love to ask her, what were her emotions during that time when she lost her husband and her two sons? And she's got no one. And now it's like, well, I'm going to go back home again. Not going to have anything left there. But I want to ask Naomi, did you see the providence of God in your life at that time? I would beg that she maybe didn't. But it's still there. God is preparing. He's setting up provisions for her and Ruth, of course, to go back to Bethlehem for a specific reason. So Ruth goes with Naomi. Orpah does not. She stays there. And it makes sense. Naomi was even telling them, you stay here. I can't give you another son, other sons. Stay here. Marry a Moabite. I've got nothing. 10th verse says, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi tries to convince him otherwise. 14th verse, first chapter, Ruth. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Ruth, something's happening with Ruth here. Something had happened with Ruth, to Ruth, even now. And then the well-known verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Ruth didn't have anyone but a mother-in-law. Not putting down mother-in-laws. They're wonderful. Mine's not here today, but anyway, so she's, I'm going to go with you. Your God will be my God. Something is happening with Ruth here. 18th verse, when she saw that she, Ruth, was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. It's like, okay, Naomi's, I give up. you can come with me. As I mentioned Wednesday night, yeah, I cannot see that Naomi would have been a pleasant person to be with on that journey. Just, and she even says that in the 20th verse, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. In that statement, it doesn't sound like she is seeing clearly or at all the providence of God. God, Lord, the Almighty's dealt bitterly with me. I think we've experienced these things. I'd like for you as a congregation, as individuals, to put yourself in some of these situations. And think, okay, could I see the providence of God? Could I see the blessings of God in here? I think of when Paul and Silas were in prison, down in the bottom of that prison, chained up. So what did they do? They sang. That's faith. That's faith right there. And God was watching out. Paul had not yet been to all the places yet. The providence in your life and in my life shows us, when we see that we haven't yet been to all the places that we are going to be sent by God. I'm going to wander into places that God didn't send me, but still through His providence, then He has a purpose for us. There's a future application, purpose for us. It was for Naomi, it was for Ruth. We'll move along and get more to that. In the second chapter, we see some interaction between Boaz and I'm sorry, I'm assuming that, and which is bad, that everyone is aware, okay, who Boaz is and Ruth and so forth, but I'm having to move through this pretty quickly. Ruth, in the 10th verse, says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Because we know she's gleaning in his field, and she's got much more grain than she really ought to have. And so when she sees this, and she understands that this is not normal, why have I found grace in thine eyes when that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. He saw, Boaz may not have understood, but he saw the providence of God in the life of Ruth. He just listed everything that she went through, that she did for her mother-in-law and so forth. And then he even says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Skipping to verse 17th verse. So she gleaned in the field until even. Then she took what she had gleaned, the grain and so forth. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law, Naomi, saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her what she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Naomi is beginning to see, She sees the providence and blessings of God here. She sees there's something working here, and she sees that. One of the things I had mentioned Wednesday night was when I have been blessed to see the providence of God and look out ahead, not knowing. And Wednesday, Brother Nolan said that, well, sometimes we don't know God's plan for us or His purpose for us. But we see something, but we know at that point He's given us the provisions that we need to carry on one more step, that there's something out there. May not know what it is, but there's a purpose out there. We don't know when, where, what it will be. But I believe that Naomi is now seeing that something is happening here in the fourth chapter. Right here in Ruth, fifth verse. Then Boaz, and I'm skipping a lot, I know. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Boy, there's some redemption here in Boaz. And there's so much in this book. And not long ago, Brother Mark preached a lot out of Ruth. So then we move on here. It says in the 13th verse, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Now, before I wrap this up, I'm going to pull a verse out here. It's verse 15. Let me just read it. And he said, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. Now, Kathy used to always use this verse to tell my dad, daughter-in-law is better than seven sons. Yeah. So if all the verses out of Ruth, and she remembers a lot of these, this particular verse she remembers. And I remember Dad would just get this grin on his face and be so pleased. but anyway, so we go on here. So Ruth and Boaz, they have a son. Remember the providence of God, her and Naomi too being guided. Naomi has gone from Bethlehem with her family to Moab, and then lost all her family, and now come back. She's got nothing but a daughter-in-law, and I say that, quote unquote, nothing but a daughter. She has everything in the daughter-in-law. Everything here. And Naomi, though, sees. Well, what thought got me to thinking about these particular verses here was not so much Ruth last week or the week before last, but it was Naomi and the providence of God. Naomi, what she went through. In fact, in the 17th verse, it says, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, this child, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. There's a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Ruth, as we know, and I think I've touched on this recently, but Ruth was in the lineage. We can see that in the first chapter of Matthew, that she was in the lineage of Jesus. Now, how important was the providence of God here? How important it was. And all of that route that they took, and Naomi there, and in fact it said that there is a son born to Naomi here. This mother-in-law is of extreme importance. And you could begin to question all of this. And if Naomi had never been on the scene, would Ruth wouldn't have ever ended up in over in Bethlehem and met Boaz and gleaned and all that. But through the guidance, the providence, through those provisions from God Almighty to them, there was a future application that they needed the care of God Himself here. And we need that. And though, so now with us, I don't want, so we won't, we are not in the lineage, if you will, that natural family of Jesus. We are certainly brought into that family. Thanks be to God for that. We should never downplay, minimize the providence of God in our lives.
Yeah.
And let's look for it. I don't want to say that I look for signs and things. How about we say we're looking for the providence, the fulfillment of the providence of God in our lives. And it's how some of us have ended up here. I think all of us. I'm thankful for y'all being here. So the current provision given us, whether it be, and in Brother Jeff's prayer, he mentioned so many of all the various needs for care from God, whether it be physically sick, or those, I think so much of those that are emotionally down, that are suffering depression, when there seems to be no good reason at all to be depressed, but you are. It's still important. And God's providence in those times is so vastly important.
Yes.
So important. What does that tell you? When you look for it and then you see it, then that tells you certainly that God loves you. He has always loved you. And that He has a future purpose for you.
Amen.
He has something in the future. I'm anxious to know what that is. I'm anxious to know what that is. I'll say this and mention this and close. So preachers men are ordained to the ministry, and they go all over the place. They go where hopefully God leads them and so forth. But I was told recently by another minister that he had asked my former pastor, Mike Montgomery, early on in my ministry, and I guess it'll be 20 years this November, but I shouldn't say that. I should be a much better preacher by now. But said, where has Ward found his I forget the terminology he used, but his purpose or his place? You know, we settle in some place. If the Lord blesses, He's got to bless that. At that time. Whenever he asked Mike about this, I don't know when that was exactly, but it was early on. I don't believe I had. And this minister that told me this experience and this question that he asked of my pastor, he said, he's observed. He said, well, now we know. Today, now and said, you were sent to Brentwood. You were guided to Brentwood Hills for whatever reason. I hope it's not for y'all's chastisement. I hope it's for your blessing. But we made it this long, about 9 years now. He had seen the providence of God and the result of that, and saw this is what that was. I had never thought about it in that respect. We need to communicate with one another. We need to share these things. We need to lift each other up. But the important thing for me right now, when I see the care and the providence of God, is that there is a future application. There is something there. That encourages me to go on, because we all get down. And believe me, I know some of you experienced some things in your lives that we have not experienced and all, and can't begin to imagine how you made it through that other than by the grace of Almighty God, because He still loves you. May God bless and keep you.
retired, someone who's not a member, someone who has